We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. We're going to check in with the Big Selfish, as he calls himself. He gave himself his own nickname, even more selfish, Rami Makhlouf. I do want his take on this. Obviously, Rami is a Bears fan, and I want it from his perspective. Also, I think that Justin Fields is going to be really good, and Rami doesn't like the draft, I guess. This is what I'm hearing secondhand, so we'll confront him. We're going to go one-on-one. Bart goes one-on-one. Oh, yeah, what am I, fighting this guy? It's just an interview. Bart goes one-on-one with A.J. Hawk. Bart goes one-on-one with Bill Romanowski. 414-799-1250. The main story is the Aaron Rodgers saga. Brewers lose last night again by a run, again with bases loaded and runners stranded a lot again. Bucks win with an exorbitant amount of fouls called against them. We'll get into all that as we go on here. I get that the Rodgers stuff is a lot. I do. I know it. I'm telling you, it's affecting my personal life. I go home and I can't get off of this stupid phone because I got to see what the latest update is. I got to see, like, Devontae Adams tweeted something that Aaron Rodgers liked. Okay? So that's a big deal. Great. I'd rather it not be. John Kuhn says 75%. Chance that Rodgers is coming back. Okay, well, there's some hope. Rodgers is at the Kentucky Derby. Mike Tirico gives us this report. There's another thing. Adam Schefter this morning. Oh, the Packers are looking at other quarterbacks to sign. Is that really, though, news? I mean, they told you over the weekend we want another quarterback in this room, regardless. Now, if they go and, like, trade for a veteran, then it's news. If they, like, oh, the Panthers have Mac Jones, and then they trade for Cam Newton. That's news. If they just sign, like, Kyle Loretta or whatever, you know, some rando from Rando Times, that's not a big deal. Brett Favre is talking a bunch. I mean, how much of this is news? Like, how much of Brett Favre talking is news? Like, Brett Favre, it should be big news. He was there with Rodgers, and now the same thing's happening again. Brett Favre has a relationship with Rodgers. But how much is Brett Favre just being, you know, Brett Favre about it? You know what I mean? Brett Favre, you know, I wondered as a kid, you know, you wonder, well, these guys are such a big part of my daily life. What's going to happen when they retire? Will we ever see him again? Brett Favre won't go away. Doug is in Appleton, 414-799-1250. What's happening, Doug?
Not too much. How about you?
Oh, just, you know, just completely melting down as a person for something I can't control.
Well, hey, the reason for my call, I wanted to take exception with Harvett's comment about the quarterback versus the GM. So you talk about Brett Favre, and that's really essentially a perfect tie-in. Without Ron Wolf trading a first-round pick for a third-string quarterback, we don't turn this franchise around. Without Ron Wolf hiring Mike Holmgren, we don't turn this franchise around. Without Ron Wolf attracting Reggie White, we don't turn this franchise around. So I do take exception with the fact that the quarterback is more important than the GM, because the GM in this case put the quarterback in position to see the field.
Yeah, that's a good sentiment, Doug. I'm glad you called in with that. I also kind of goes off a tweet that I was just looking at. This is from Blue. Yeah, Rodgers has an MVP season last year in LaFleur's offense. His last MVP season was 6 years prior. Aaron's really talented. Let's not pretend that he's the only QB who could flourish in such a clever and balanced offense. The part that I don't like is now we're being like forced to take sides. You remember the Favre thing? We took sides. I mean, you took sides. I was side of Aaron Rodgers. That was different, though. That was very different because the sides were the quarterbacks. I don't know if it was Packers versus Favre as much, because at that point, when the dissension happened, was 3 years into Rodgers being a backup quarterback. And we had seen that Rodgers was capable and that he was good. The Dallas Cowboy game, it was a Thursday night. Both teams were like 10-1. Maybe one was 10-2. Favre was struggling. Rodgers came in, looked good, almost brought the team back. If they had more time, if they played another quarter, he could have brought the team back. They show Favre on the sidelines, totally dejected, knowing that Aaron Rodgers is not just good, but maybe better than him. So what they do is they move on to Aaron Rodgers, because at that point, look, the guy was on his rookie deal. You're going to have to make a decision. Yeah, you could go another couple years of Favre, or you could make sure you have Rodgers, this quarterback, for another career. And so the Packers moved on from that. But there was still, after 3 years, this massive dissension in the fan base. I was Team Rodgers because I knew that 10 years, I was saying 10 years of Rodgers is better than what, 3 years of Favre? Even though all that Favre had given you? A lot of people didn't see it that way. A lot of people thought, well, Favre gave you all this. You ride with him until he's done. I mean, I told you guys yesterday, there were some people, and maybe I amplify this because of the situation I was in at the time, but I had liked this girl, you see. The thing was, I liked this girl, you know? And she was dating this guy who I thought was a real, like, dork. And not like dork, like dorks are cool. Like, just a real, like, there's no redeeming qualities that I saw out of this guy at all. And all I had to see was a picture of them going to a Packer game together. And I asked her, what's the deal with the boyfriend's jersey? He went to a Packer Lion game. He wore a Calvin Johnson jersey. Is he a Lion fan? She said, well, no. I mean, he hates the Packers now because of Brett Favre. So he bought a Lions jersey to go to the game with. I said, don't you think that's a little weird and a bad sign? Shouldn't you rather be with me, boo? And she said, I don't even look at you that way. I barely look at you as a friend. And I said, but I'm totally head over heels about you. And she said, you're disgusting. And then I cried for a long time. And then, where was I? Oh, yeah, the Packers. But there were people that, it was split. It was that split. Now, this time, nobody's like, oh, well, Jordan Love has to play. It's Packers, Goody versus Rodgers. That's where it's different. There was some Ted Thompson thrown into that because I guess he drafted Favre and he was the one making the decision. But this is different. This is Favre versus Goody. And I don't want to take the side, let's say, of Goody. I don't want to be a company man. I don't want to, you know, I get where Horvat's coming from. You don't buy the jerseys of the GM. Now, yeah, Ron Wolf saw Brett Favre, brought him here. What's Brett Favre's career if Ron Wolf doesn't trade for him? Probably a disaster. What's Aaron Rodgers' career if Ted Thompson doesn't draft him? Aaron Rodgers, he looked good that third year. he didn't look so good right away. Remember they drafted this guy and he threw all weird? He threw like the Jeff Tedford way where he brought his arm up all the way up and they had to change how he threw. So you do credit Mike McCarthy for that. Rodgers brought his arm all the way up. It was a weird throwing motion. And it didn't lead to a lot of success. But the Packers, they went with him. So what kind of career will Jordan Love have now because of the GM? We don't know yet. We don't know yet. We'll find out. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us, 1250 AM, The Fan, Facebook as well. Mark is in Oak Creek. What's up, Mark?
Hi, Mark. Hey, Bart. You almost caused me to crash. I was laughing so hard with your girlfriend story, so you gotta stop that. But
are you taking joy in my pain, Mark?
I was a little bit, because you're probably not in as much pain now that you're married, or maybe you're in more pain. I don't know. But
no, less pain. Okay. I'm in love now.
Okay. No, anyway, I just want to say I agree with almost everything you've said so far and on the whole situation as far as Love and Rodgers, other than laughing in between.
You just wanted to call in and tell me you agree with me?
I did.
Good. I need more people like this.
Well, you're just very spot on this morning, and the jokes and the laughing, it's good with all the rain and everything. So, like I said, I'm almost crashing my car. I was laughing so hard. So
I'm the sunshine to you on another otherwise rainy day.
Yes, you are. So I appreciate it. All right, have a good one.
Oh, Mark, this is very nice of you. Wow. Why do we got to end this conversation so soon? I could really use that. Wow. That was very nice. You know, I get a lot of hate on Twitter. I don't know if you ever saw that, Sam. People get a lot of hate on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. And someone called me yesterday the biggest piece of S in Milwaukee, and everyone knows it. And that kind of stung to me. I'm a nice guy.
Oh, come on. You've been through worse. They can do better than that, too.
You never know what tweets are going to bother you.
That's true.
You never do. You know, I've got skin so thick, man, you can't even finish an analogy for it. It's so thick, but you never know what's going to bother you.
Well, Bart, you know what they say. If you don't have haters, you ain't doing anything right.
Yeah, well, I would say that haters make me famous, but then again,
they also crush your soul.
799-1250, 414-799-1250. You know what crushes my soul, Sam? You know what really crushes my soul from the inside? When I ask somebody, when were your windows installed in your house? What crushes my soul is when they say, Bart, straight up, I don't know. And I say, what? How do you not know? Windows are so important. They are the light into your home. They are the view to the outside world. How do you not know when your windows were installed? And they say, I don't know. I moved into the house in the 90s. And I say, whoa, you still got those same windows? And go, yeah, actually, the house was built in the 60s. Ooh, you probably still have the same windows. That crushes my soul. Thankfully, there's Window Select. 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com, windowselect.com. At Window Select, you can get a buy one, get one deal on the windows. You can get no payments for a full year. They'll do your windows, siding, and doors. They do all of that for you at Window Select, and all of their windows come with a double lifetime warranty. Now, okay, this is from, like, let's say that you did get new windows in the 90s or even in the 60s. You know how, like, technology has changed? You know how we used to listen to music on cassette players and now you can just listen on wireless earbuds and listen from any device because of this thing called Bluetooth that I still don't really understand how it works? The same thing happens with windows. They are so much more high quality and so much more energy efficient that they do such a better job of keeping the air in the home that you need in the home. You want to blast the AC? Well, you want that air to stay in the house and not leak through the windows so you don't have to crank up the AC even more and cost you more money that way. So many good reasons why you need high quality, energy efficient windows. And thankfully, Window Select has a lot of great deals on that. Again, buy one, get one. Double lifetime warranty on all their products. No payments for a full year. 262-703-3500. 262-703-3500. There are some other things going on in this world, in the sports world. We'll talk about those coming up. Bucks at the unlucky end of a whistle, but how much of that was unlucky, how much of that was predetermined in the Brewers? They can't win now, I guess. More coming up. 12:50 a.m. The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. Sam Schmitz. Bryn Forbes.
I wouldn't say strides. I think we kind of opened our own eyes to how good we can be and, you know, what it might take to beat some very good teams. But yeah, I think I wouldn't really say strides. I think we just played to, I don't even think to our full potential, but we played well, you know, and showed ourselves how well we can play. So,
Bryn Forbes has done a good job these last couple of games not being terrible, which is a pro for the Bucks. Also not being terrible, Pat Connaughton, who they don't win that game without last night. Some big threes for the Milwaukee Bucks. They beat the Wizards 136-135. No Middleton. And that, I'm going to tell you, it's a good win. Wizards have been playing very, very well as of late. They went from total obscurity. They kind of went from zero to hero. They went from totally chic.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
My wife says it all the time. Totally. That's a failure. Edit this out in post.
Gotcha.
I failed. The Packers. What am I saying now?
Bucks. Great win last night against the Washington Wizards.
Was it though? They suck.
This whole fourth quarter thing, it's kind of a problem. Ty Windish put out a good stat. They have the only team with the worst net rating in the fourth quarter is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Look at you with the save. You and Josh Hader getting the saves.
Hey, lefties.
Yeah, yeah. The Bucks, and here's another stat. This is from Jake Reitz on Twitter. He says, the Bucks lead the league in fewest opponent free throw attempts per game at 18.6. So teams that play the Bucks, they get to the line about 19 times. Last night, the Wizards shot 43 free throws. That's a season high for the Wizards and the most given up against the Bucks in the Budenholzer era. So something seemed a bit askew with the whistle last night. Talking some hoops brought to you by our friends at Schneider. Now hiring drivers for more than 80 years. They've been getting it done. Go to schneiderjobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. 1-800-44-PRIDE. You know who's got a lot of pride is our good, good buddy Mike the Painter at 799-1250. What's up, Mike?
Good morning. You have to have pride when you're a painter. If you don't have pride, you don't do a good job for the customers, and then they're not happy.
Do you ever do one solid coat of paint and say that's enough, or is everything always got to be a two-coat job?
Well, you want to do a two-coat job because it's more durable, but, you know, a lot of customers don't want, you know, to pay the extra money for two coats, you know.
Well, sometimes you pay now. Otherwise, I could buy a nice toy for my kid for $100. It could last him forever. Or I could buy him, you know, $7 $30 toys for the next. I'm out of money. Sometimes you got to make that investment right away, Mike.
It is the way you should do it.
Yeah.
So that was totally obscured, is what you were looking for before. Is that what your wife says? Totally obscured?
No. No. I'm going to look it up now. Totally geeked, totally chic.
But that was a really good win for the Bucks, and like you said, the Wizards have been really hot lately, and you got Russell Westbrook, that's triple double machine, and Bradley Beal, that is a backcourt combo that's just out of this world, you know. And I think the Bucks are on fire right now. They're playing some really hot basketball, and I'm really enjoying this run that we're on and going into the playoffs, and hopefully we can continue it.
Well, are you worried if they run into the Nets?
No, I'm not worried. It's basketball. Anybody can win on any given day.
Well, great insight.
The shots fall, and if they don't, you know, that's how basketball is. You know, the ball bounces the wrong way. Look at against the Raptors, you know, you got seven bounces for Kawhi Leonard's ball to get in. So, well,
aren't you worried about that? Budenholzer sucks.
No, I don't think Budenholzer sucks. I actually like Budenholzer.
Hmm.
Yeah, I do. We've had the best record in the NBA for 2 years in a row, and it's up to the players to play. You know, his rotations is his rotations. You know, it's the way it is. You win, they win. It's a new team, too, and they're winning, so it's good to see. So,
again, our most optimistic caller, Mike the Painter.
Thanks, Bart.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a good day.
I figured it out, by the way.
I mean, he went totally geek. Totally chic.
Totally geek to totally chic. It's from Sam's favorite movie, Can't Buy Me Love.
Mm. Yeah, favorite movie. Can't say I've seen it, though.
Yeah. Totally geek to totally chic. Brewers also lose last night, so this is kind of ironic. This is what Travis Shaw said on Saturday. Remember, Saturday was like the best game of the year. Saturday, I root for extra innings on Saturday night, man. Because I do the rule, every extra inning is an extra pour. Extra drink.
Hey, there you go.
That's really why I don't like the new extra inning rule. Because those 18 inning games, man. Barty has some fun. But this is what Travis Shaw said Saturday night.
We just keep doing it every night, finding ways to get it done. Seems like however many runs we need, we score that exact amount every single night, whether it's one, whether it's five, six, whatever it is, we'll get it up. We've been getting just enough to win, and just a huge team win for us tonight, coming back down a couple times late in extra innings and finally got some timely hitting and just pretty good win tonight.
All right, since then they got smoked on Sunday, and now they've lost the last three games. One run, one run, one run. So things are not great in that department at all. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, we are going to continue to talk NBA. There is an author, Jake Fisher, who has written a book, Built the Tank. And he talks about how the NBA, these teams benefit from tanking. And obviously when the Bucks were bad, they tanked a whole year for Jabari Parker. That didn't work out. Somehow along the way, they lucked into Giannis, which is why we have everything we do today. Like this new hotel going up by the Pfizer Forum. None of these things happen if they don't luck into Giannis, if we're being honest about it. So we'll talk to Jake about that. We're going to play the blame game. Rami promos the blame game. We're going to play the blame game. Okay, we're going to play the blame game with Aaron Rodgers right before 9. And we'll talk to Rami coming up. Don't go anywhere on The Fan. 12:50 a.m. The Fan. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz. All right, here is your welcome 10-minute diversion from the Aaron Rodgers saga. This is a favor to everyone. And thanks to Jake Fisher for making it happen. His new book is out. It's called Built to Lose, How the NBA's Tanking Era Changed the League Forever. Jake joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Jake, thanks for a couple minutes. First of all, congratulations on getting a book written. I've thought a few times in my life, hey, maybe I should write a book. And then I sit there and then I can't figure out what to write on. And then I know a lot of people have tried and failed. Writing a book, man, that is a journey, so congratulations to you on that first and foremost.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, just like how Aaron Rodgers is, you know, everything and everything in Green Bay, you know, in the NBA, it's probably even more important to get these superstars, and tanking to get them at the top of the draft just kind of became a pretty good topic for a book.
Yeah, you could tank to get one, or you could just, like, be the Nets and have, you know, three people just randomly come over to you, but I think that the tanking thing that has happened in the NBA, it's become popular for especially teams that don't have the draws of Miami Beach or the LA spotlight. And I think immediately of the Bucks and where they were at, you know, several years ago when there was the draft class with Embiid and then Jabari and Wiggins. And so the Bucks were essentially tanking. Trying to get a good pick, a top lottery pick, and they used that on Jabari. What's interesting about that time for the Bucks is Jabari was the focus, but it was Giannis mm-hmm. who got drafted in the middle of the round that has really turned it around. And I think that's just a good example of you can do all this and spend all this time, but there is no guarantee at all that it's going to work. And so is it even worth it? And I know you discovered a bunch of scenarios like that.
Yeah, I mean, I spent 3 years talking to over 300 people around the NBA. One of them was John Hammond, the former Bucks general manager. We talked at length first about that 2013 draft class. You know, obviously Giannis fell to 15 in that year. You know, he had this grainy footage coming out of Greece. A lot of NBA executives didn't really know what to make of it, right? Like, he was playing in, like, these middle school gyms against guys half of his size. But, you know, the Bucks really saw something and saw some potential in him. And when I found out for the book, you know, they really screwed over the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks at the time were the team on the hottest pursuit for Giannis. They actually brought him over under cloak and dagger to visit Atlanta. He had a dinner at the general manager at the time, Danny Ferry's house. They ordered chicken parm and ate at his kitchen table with his kids. They brought him into the Phillips Arena at the time and put on the lights, and they could see tears in Giannis's eyes, you know, after he came over from, you know, panhandling and selling bootleg sunglasses on the streets. But they never thought he was going to be, you know, what he became. They thought he had the potential. They thought he could be a potential, maybe even an all-star one day. They never thought he'd be a multiple-time MVP. And that 2013-14 season, his rookie year, you're right, they did end up tanking, but they were originally supposed to be a playoff contender. But that's how things happen in the NBA. That's why I think team building is so fascinating. There's so many unforeseen variables at play, whether it being, you know, the lottery odds and the lottery luck not bouncing your way, or, you know, if you are Atlanta and the guy you want, the guy you put in all the work for, goes two picks ahead of you, you kind of get screwed over there. So the Bucks really didn't have a choice in 2014. You know, that class, it was featuring Joel Embiid, Parker, Wiggins. It was supposed to be the best class since 2003. And coincidentally, at that time, the best players from 2003, LeBron, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh, were all running the league in Miami, right? So a lot of teams just thought, we'll punt this season, we'll punt next season, we'll collect this next generation of superstars, and by the time they're slipping out of their prime, you know, by the time the Heat start to, you know, wax and wane and their dynasty comes to a close, we'll be here and we'll be contending. And, you know, the Bucks really did think Jabari Parker was going to be that guy, and that, I think that just goes to show just how fickle this is and why a team like the Sixers and Sam Hinkie's process, why tanking year after year and collecting as many darts to throw at the dartboard, it tends to be a pretty decent strategy, because you are going to make mistakes and you are going to, you know, take a guy number two overall who has injury issues and, you know, doesn't end up panning out. So it really is a complicated and just almost improbably tall task to do. But that's why I think it needed to be encapsulated in a book.
Time with Jake Fisher. The book is called Built to Lose, regarding the NBA tanking era. How do you think that fans have come to accept tanking? Because I know, like, you never want to watch a team suck for years at a time. But you mentioned the Sixers, and while they haven't gotten to the NBA Finals since this has happened, they branded it. I mean, trust the process is a brand over there. The Thunder seem to have their fans on board. Now, the Thunder are going to a wild extreme where it's like they have a third of the draft picks for the next 6 years. Is this something that fans have come to accept as something as a positive for the team?
Yeah, you know, I was talking to an assistant general manager yesterday about this, and he said, you know, the Brainiacs got it right, being that, you know, Sam Hinkie was not the only executive to do this at that time period. Oklahoma City did it originally back in 2007, starting with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder poached Rob Hennigan from their front office to lead their rebuild post Dwight Howard. Ryan McDonough came to power in Phoenix, Pete D'Alessandro in Sacramento, David Griffin in Cleveland. You know, the rise of analytical minded executives around the league kind of propped up this tanking strategy, where they calculated and saw, you know, the typical championship team has multiple all-stars on their roster, and the easiest, most direct path to get them is through the top of the draft. So if you're in the mid-tier of the league, you're not going to be competing really against those championship caliber teams. You know, the Bucks and six Brandon Jennings type teams aren't really going to have a shot at the title. So the best way, especially for a smaller market, to do that is to sink down to the bottom and get these guys. I mean, Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins didn't work out, but look what Joel Embiid can do, right? And this assistant general manager I talked to yesterday said the Brainiacs got it right. And the fact that now it is accepted and teams sell hope. They don't sell, you know, the typical concept of like, you, any night you come into our arena, we can have a victory and we can make you proud for your home city. Now it's the fact of like, oh, one day, you know, this guy is showing great strides. Look at how much he's improving. In a couple years, when he gets to be an all-star, you know, he'll attract somebody else. That hope is tantalizing and exciting. And Philadelphia, during that time period, they were, you know, leading the league in new season ticket sales and selling that message of one day, of, you know, around the corner, of someday soon. And it seems to be something that, you know, fans do buy. And I think fans want direction. Like, I live in New York. I'm in Brooklyn now. I've been here for, you know, 5-6 years covering the league through Brooklyn and through the Knicks. And, you know, both these teams have been kind of wayward and not really having a direction ever since I've gotten here. Now they're both on a path. You're right about Brooklyn just signing three guys, and here they are. But, you know, the fact that the Knicks have some type of direction, have some type of identity, you know, teams just want to have that. And a lot of times that identity that really fans respond to is just the concept of, we'll be bad for a year or two for the hope of being really, really good a couple years down the line.
Bucks and six always. That's for the culture.
Yeah, that's a rallying cry here in Milwaukee for sure. Talking with Jake Fisher again about the tanking era in the NBA, Built to Lose is the book, how the NBA's tanking era changed the league forever. It is out now wherever books are sold. You look at, though, like, I am a big soccer guy, so I look overseas, and if you're bad, there's a penalty. Yeah. You lose. You go down a tier. You are not in the league anymore. America, it's not like that. If you lose, you get rewarded. You get rewarded with the best player. The Jacksonville Jaguars get Trevor Lawrence. They get rewarded with the best player. It is just, you know, it's weird in America how we, you know, hate different forms of, I'll say, socialism. But then in our sports, we want the worst teams to have the best chance. We root for losing. And what you said about hope, I mean, it is pretty remarkable how you can sell hope and people will still watch a bad product because of how strong that feeling is of hope.
Yeah, I mean, we're also at a situation where a lot of teams also don't really have a choice, right? Like, look at the Houston Rockets this year. They did everything they could and positioned and were strategic to trade for James Harden back in 2012. They built a contender around him. And all of a sudden, you know, there were a lot of variables and factors, but he just says, trade me to Brooklyn. He just says it. And all of a sudden, he ends up in Brooklyn, and now the Rockets are one of the worst teams in the league. They don't really have a choice. Like, there's not going to be a player right now in this current iteration of that Houston Rockets roster after they traded Harden who's going to say, yeah, sign me up. I'm a free agent. Give me the money. I'm coming to Houston. I'm bringing a title to that team. It's just the big markets play a big factor in the NBA. Obviously, we see it in other sports too, but I think in the NBA in particular, like, it's not like football or baseball where players are wearing a hat or a helmet. You know, these guys are out there in sleeveless shirts and shorts with their tattoos on full display and their personalities really on, you know, the center stage. It's a superstar-driven league. They're able to control both sides of the court, like, as good and amazing as Aaron Rodgers has been for that franchise, and, you know, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He doesn't play defense, right? Like LeBron and Giannis and any type of real superstar franchise-changing talent, they could impact the game both sides of the court for, you know, 40-plus minutes. And that type of influence that these stars have is just so powerful and so different from any other sport that I think it's just kind of tilted the scales out of whack, and it's made the NBA that much more prevalent based on how, you know, these superstars can kind of build up a whole ecosystem and a whole city's downtown and bar scenes and all that type of stuff. It really is powerful what these guys can do.
Obviously, the NBA doesn't want it to be the end of the season where two teams are playing each other and there's no interest in the game, so they came in with this play-in tournament. Yeah. Do you think that's enough to discourage teams from tanking? I like the Wizards. Bucks play the Wizards, and the Wizards, normally things go awry for them. Okay, whatever, we'll play it out. But they've been very good the last couple of months because they're, you know, just anything they can do to get that 10 seed to just have a chance.
Yeah, in 2014, when all these teams were tanking in the book, you know, I talk about it, I wrote about it, I reported on it, but it happened back then where the league and the board of governors were unhappy about, you know, tanking teams coming into their arena, you know, like right in this end of the season, like you're talking about, and fans weren't filling the stands, and it was a problem, and they were kicking around all these ideas, like a tournament where the non-playoff teams all played for the number one pick. Or, you know, Mike Zarin, the assistant general manager in Boston, has pitched this wheel concept where it completely detaches record from draft position. The play-in tournament was another addition to lottery reform that was exact in 2017, where now the bottom three teams only have a 14% chance at the number one pick versus in 2014 when Milwaukee, you know, bottomed out. They had the number one odds. They had a 25% chance of getting that number one slot that year. And the play-in tournament, you're right, has definitely encouraged teams like Washington and teams like New Orleans to play after it and try to get into that mix there. But I think it's curious. Like the Wizards, for example, they need to be competing, right? Because they have Bradley Beal, and it's the same type of conversation we're talking about. He's a superstar, all-NBA guard, leading scorer in the league. You know, they need to do everything they can to keep that guy happy and keep him in a winning environment and keep him long-term. They already did their work. They tanked to get him in back in the day. They had him at number three. They picked John Wall number one. That was supposed to be their team. And they've got that core. They got to keep it intact. But what are they really playing for here? They're playing for the potential to be the eighth seed. And they're going to draw Philadelphia or Brooklyn or Milwaukee in the first round. As much as no one wants to face that team right now. You know, most 10 seeds or 9 seeds or whatever in this play-in tournament aren't going to have been riddled by COVID for 2 weeks and have, you know, two all-star type guys. The average team in that situation, they're just playing for the right to get beat in the first round by those top teams, right? So that's why we see teams like Orlando trade Nikola Vucevic and Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier, because they know they're not going to really make much noise in the playoffs. And in order to really avoid that situation, you know, you trade your guys, you get out of the lottery, or you get into the lottery and you get your stars. So as much as the play-in tournament is definitely pushing some teams to compete and really push together, you know, a final stretch run here, we are seeing teams across the league, like Oklahoma City, like you mentioned, Houston, like I talked about, Detroit, Orlando. I mean, there's a ton of teams that are still going to play that lottery no matter what.
Jake Fisher, you can also find his stuff at Bleacher Report. Who do you like to come out of the East?
I really do think it's going to be Philadelphia. I think Brooklyn, I would have picked them at a certain point. I definitely was picking them at a certain point. But the fact that they haven't had their three guys together, the fact that they have these injury issues, the fact that they don't have a big man, really, that can consistently guard Giannis or Joel Embiid, I think is going to potentially cause an issue for them over 7 games. Now, I could be wrong. I think Brooklyn could ultimately, I mean, they have one of the greatest offenses in NBA history. Maybe James Harden comes back to full health and they, you know, mesh perfectly and it's just this offensive juggernaut like they've never seen before. But I think Brooklyn, I think Philadelphia and Milwaukee are built to beat that team in the postseason. And I think Philly right now seems to have the inside track at that one seed. So to avoid that brutal matchup,
yeah,
with the
2-3 that's huge.
In the second round, they're going to get the winner of that team in the Eastern Conference Finals, it looks like, at this point. That's going to be a huge advantage, too.
Jake, appreciate the time, man. The book is called Built to Lose, How the NBA's Tanking Era Changed the League Forever. Available where you can get books. Congratulations again, and we'll be sure to find a reason to talk in the future.
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
Jake L. Fisher, you can find him on Twitter at that handle. Jake Fisher joining us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you've been anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. Let's play the blame game, the blame game. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play for the Packers anymore. But who is to blame? Start with Goody. Goody, Goody, Bo Booty, Banana Mana, Full Fruity. You hated Aaron Rodgers since you took over. You drafted Jordan Love and you kicked out Kumaro. How could you not know that Rodgers has an affinity for receivers that are bad? Goody. Jordan Love. Jordan, Jordan Love, why couldn't you be better if you were better? The Packers would have never had the opportunity to draft you. You should have gone out after your 2018 season, but you came back and sucked, which led you to fall down the draft board. You can't even beat teams in the Mountain West Conference. Gary Anderson was your coach, the guy who Barry Alvarez goes to the grave regretting hiring. This should have been doomed from the start, but Brian Gutekunst, ooh, I'm Big Tough Goody. Big Tough Goody, we're going back to Goody. He's so afraid to get fired because Mark Murphy looked at Goody and Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf. He said, hey guys, guess what? Ted Thompson, clearly he is deteriorating, but we can't talk about it. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna let you three play a kind of survivor reality game. I'm gonna hold the job in front of you like an apple dangling in front of someone who likes apples. I meant to say carrot, but I got it wrong. So Mark Murphy wields his power, cause Mark Murphy, all he wants in his life is to have power. He wants it to be like when he ran the world at Northwestern. He thinks that's how things work in the NFL, but it's not. Dance for me, Gutekunst. Dance for me, Elliot Wolf. Fans want Elliot Wolf. Fans want Elliot Wolf. So guess what I'm gonna do to show my power? I'm gonna hire Brian Gutekunst. You can't stop me. I'll never get fired. The board does nothing. I built a hill and there's a hotel. Buy big lots, buy bars near. I'm gonna take all the houses down. I'm gonna take the best part of Green Bay and turn it into a Disneyland for Packers. Oh, I love to go to Green Bay because there's a field in the middle of houses. Not anymore. Now there's Title Town and $1,400 apartments that people fly into, and it doesn't help the local economy as much as he thinks. Fat Cat Murphy. I'm gonna also blame Olivia Munn. Olivia, banana ban Oblivia. You were the good one. You should have had Rodgers in check. You should have fixed him when he was broken. Then he tried to do the thing with Danica and she wasn't interested. I still don't understand what that was. Now Shailene. Gosh, I don't want to blame Shailene. You can't blame the woman. It's just not right. But something is clearly going on and I don't like it. But I can't talk about it. The blame game. Aaron Rodgers. For once in your godforsaken life, get a personality and stick to it. Stop adapting to whoever you're chummy with at the time. Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy. Mike, if you weren't so bad as a coach, Aaron Rodgers went to have you fired and he did it once. Now he thinks he can do it again. The Dalai Lama. I don't know what the hell you told Rodgers when he visited you, but ever since then, let's be honest, he's been kind of a weird. Aaron Rodgers' family. Guys, oh, I don't know what the problem is, but you need to figure it out, because clearly he's chasing an itch he can't scratch. Let's play the blame game. Jeopardy audience. Why did you have to boost up the ratings for when Aaron hosted? He wasn't that good. Anderson Cooper was better, yet the ratings were worse. Jeopardy could hire better host, but Rodgers brought the ratings. Aaron Rodgers, NFL football player, realistically thinks he can host Jeopardy. That's on you. Why did you have to watch Jeopardy? Scott from Jeopardy. Aaron Rodgers was at his new job and enjoying the off season, and then you had to go make your joke about the field goal. Yeah, you got to be on CBS 58 News the next morning. good for you. You know who else has been on CBS 58 News? Me! So you're not special, you're just like me. A coward that hides his true feelings behind music and thinks if he sings it, somehow it doesn't count. Bart Winkler, you need to take a look in the mirror and ask yourself what you're doing here. The Packers mean too much to you, and now Aaron Rodgers has turned you blue. Pay more attention to your wife. Your kid's growing up in front of your eyes, but all you do is read all the tweets that Schefter says, and McAfee says, and Bomigan says. You can't stop reading the tweets. You're feeling the fire. It's gonna cost you your family. Look in the mirror! Look in the mirror!
Well done.
Look in the mirror, Sam. Look in the mirror. This Rodgers thing is tearing you apart. We can't do this anymore. It's only been a week. How much longer can we do this? Honestly, I just need football. I'm not gonna need it forever, but I need it right now. Come home, Aaron. I need you.